All right, welcome to the weekend. I am Pia Muhlenbeck. It is Friday evening and this is Wine Time.
How's that edit?
Tight, I'm baby.
Pretty impressed with... I got that drum beat kicking just the right time.
Yeah, nicely done. Kane is very excited about his new podcast setup.
I got this new Rode thing. I literally unboxed it about a day ago. And so if anything goes wrong, don't blame me. I've got a little pad full of special effects here. In fact, if I do this, hang on a minute. I'm just going to fade down the music. I'm doing this all manually, so I do apologize. Hold on. Right, check this out. Pia's got her own theme tune, which I'm going to just play right now.
Wait, what's my theme tune?
Whenever Pia comes on to, like, imagine she walks into a room, this is what you hear.
Am I like a cartoon, like Charlie Chaplin?
Well, yeah, just like that little, what are they called? Oompa Loompas. If Pia walks in with a spray tan, this is her theme tune.
That's how you see me.
Yeah, I think that is 100% accurate.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my lovely husband, Kane Varto, by the way.
How are you? I do wonder what people think about us sometimes because I've got a very specific idea of what I think I am like.
Yeah.
In real life.
What is that?
Well, I thought like kind of a Brad Pitt Fight Club character.
That's exactly what you come across like.
I thought. And then when I meet people, they're like, oh, I love you. You're so nerdy. Everyone who I talk to, they accidentally sometimes drop into conversation that I'm a bit weird.
Yeah, but I just put it down to childlike wonder.
Well, so do I. But maybe that's not true. Maybe I am actually a touch odd. And I mean, it takes an odd person to record their life and edit it into a little movie every day and put it on the internet. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm dealing with it now as we speak.
This podcast is called Wine Time, and as a result, this special effect exists.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. That is literally our iconic noise, which is really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is a thing.
I like it. Because a concept for this podcast is that every Friday afternoon when we're finishing, we're clocking off work, we're getting ready for the weekend, we pour ourselves a little glass of champagne or a little glass of wine. We actually happen to be drinking Verve at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even know we had that in the house. So.
I know.
If this goes downhill rapidly, it's because we're drinking.
Yeah, and rapidly. I thought I would crack out the Verve because we can celebrate our first ever podcast.
Oh yeah, any excuse. Pia will have any excuse and she will drink.
Celebrate life, baby.
I agree. Yeah, so this is Wine Time with me and my lovely wife.
The idea behind this podcast is going to be another way for us to obviously connect with you guys on a regular basis. This is a really fun way for us to sit down and have a little bit more of a chit-chatty moment because our vlogs are a bit more fast paced and a bit more like quick cuts and they're not as chit-chatty as we'd like. So this is a way for us to open up, discuss different topics, and because it's going to be once a week towards the end of the week, we thought would be cool is to look at what happened during the week, any big pop culture events, any news stories that grabbed our attention, and Kane and I just sort of share our opinion about it.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a slightly pop culture, slightly open discussion. Mm. And then also, if there's anything specific that's happened in that week that we want to talk about, we can kind of dig deep into that specific subject.
Yeah, and I'd really like those specific subjects to be sort of centered.
Conspiracy theories.
No, not conspiracy theories. I want to talk to industry people and I want to find out what their life is like, how they got into it, and I want to inspire our listeners.
And if they believe in aliens.
No.
So this is an alien podcast. Got it. This is brilliant. I can't wait.
To the extent where we can discuss the whole invading Area 51 type thing, but no further.
Yeah, fine.
Do you think aliens exist? Because Elon Musk said that he would know and he point blank said that they don't.
Yeah, that kind of shattered me a little bit, actually.
Me too.
I've always been a big Elon fan. You know, we've got the Tesla and stuff like that.
I thought you were going to say you were always certain that there were aliens.
Oh, no. I mean, I've seen, we'll come back to this another day. If you want us to talk about my alien encounter, which is true, by the way, make sure you, what do you do with the podcast? You hit like? Is there a comment section?
No idea. We should probably find that out.
Yeah. Is this on iTunes? I don't know how podcasts work. I literally went
into the... Can we please figure this out?
I went into the music shop and I was like, hey, mate, I need to make a podcast. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, you need this Rode podcaster thing. I was like, great, give me that. And I bought it and I came home. I literally set it up 10 minutes ago and now we're recording. So brilliant.
It needs to be on iTunes, but it also needs to be on YouTube. We need to film this.
It needs to be on Spotify so that we can play it in the car, because the car's got Spotify built in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So is that how we listen to Joe Rogan?
For my own ego, I need to have Spotify. Have it on Spotify.
You can just listen to your own soothing voice while you're driving.
My dulcet tones. Yeah. So about the alien thing, I can't believe we're talking about aliens straight away. This is bad. This is not how the podcast is going
to
go, guys.
Aren't we supposed to be introducing ourselves and who we are?
Yeah, but you asked about what Elon Musk said. And what he said was, I think somebody, he was at a press conference and somebody asked him, you know, have you seen aliens? Do you believe in aliens? Have you seen Area 51? Have you been there? Mm. And he literally said, if there were aliens, I would know about it. And Let me tell you, there aren't. Now, I kind of believe him purely from the fact that he needs to know if there are aliens, because he's putting many, many billions of his dollars into space to go to a different planet.
Yeah.
And if it gets shot down before he even gets to Mars, because there are aliens there already, he's literally just wasted his Earth dollars.
But what if there are just no aliens on Mars, but they're in other galaxies? Like, he's just literally talking about the next freaking planet along. Of course. How far has his space exploration gone?
I don't know, but I'm pretty keen to explore Uranus.
I knew this would come up. I was waiting for the Uranus joke.
Hang on. There we go.
No, you need like a ba-doom, boom, shh.
I'm sure the audience.
Or crickets.
I think the audience will have naturally laughed at that point already.
Oh, should we get a laugh track? Yeah.
Like in Friends.
Yeah.
But even when not that funny, everyone still thinks, oh, maybe I should laugh at this.
It's a placebo effect. Everyone else will be laughing because there's a laugh track on there. This is not a conspiracy podcast in any way, shape or form.
No, it won't be, but we probably will occasionally every episode talk about something
just
that's a little bit weird.
Just because Kane's the co-host and he really wants to.
I just like weird stuff. I think weird things are what make the world go round.
Oh, he gets very sucked into conspiracy
Not sucked
theory.
In. Yes, I do my research and I make educated judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's me at Area 51.
No, realistically, there's going to be a little podcast that drops every Friday. We'll do a little roundup of the week, talk about the things that like piqued our interest and things like that, and just get in touch with you guys, you know, communicate a bit more. So what happened this week? Should we talk about Austin McBroom?
No, let's not start with the most negative thing on the internet.
You want to keep it to aliens and burps?
Yeah, I would say so. Why don't we introduce, people don't even know who we are. If you've discovered this podcast, we are two idiots from Sydney. Welcome.
We are a married couple. We've been together for nearly 10 years
It's 11 years in February, and Pia forgot our 10th anniversary, so now she's trying to convince the whole world that it's only 10 years.
That's not true. No, our 10-year anniversary is in February.
All right, well, we'll have a look at that.
Anywho, we are content creators on YouTube and Instagram. We also run an eco-friendly wellness company called Slinky, where we make clothing made out of recycled fishing nets. And I'm actually an ex-lawyer, so there's an interesting transition between, you know, a very academic sort of corporate background to now pretty much just goofing around in front of a camera and uploading that to the world.
Yeah, it's pretty different to your previous life.
It is, and it's a lot more fun.
The other thing which we haven't mentioned is me.
Oh yeah,
you've done your intro.
Forgot about that.
I am I still am a creative director. Mm-hmm. I've worked for agencies since I came to Australia, and in London as well before that, and in New York before that. And I work in the digital space, or I have worked in the digital space, creating online ads, TV commercials, that sort of thing, for big brands, primarily in the automotive industry. And that changed that when Pia quit her job and started doing social media. I gave it about another year or so, I reckon.
Mm.
And then when it seemed that it was a legitimate career and she had enough money coming in to pay the rent, I then quit my job to kind of support her and become that Instagram husband.
Yeah, to do it together full time.
Yeah, and now that's what we do full time.
Full time, all the
time. We are together 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. 7 days a week. We work together and we live together. So if anyone wants relationship advice, don't ask us.
Maybe that's what this podcast should be called, relationship advice.
Or we should call it couples therapy.
Yeah, that's a good original name.
No one else has done that, I don't think.
What Kane probably doesn't want to mention himself is that he's actually a
15 awards.
Yeah, 15 awards.
Oh no, I have no problem mentioning that.
Turns out he's quite happy to mention that. He's a
it's actually 13. Look on my LinkedIn if anyone's keen. It's all listed out there.
So he comes from obviously a very creative background. He's an branding expert, and that brings a really interesting skill to this whole new sort of creator influencer world, because he can really interpret how to work with brands and how to get a message across in a really fun, creative way, because he's just got that background. And me, I'm obviously much more analytical and really not that creative. And so the two of us working together, it's actually kind of great because we have very opposing skills and we don't tread on each other's toes too much.
No.
Unless I tell him to take more photos of me.
I tell you what's interesting, which is something I never considered when I quit my job to do this in the first place.
Mm.
The jobs aren't so different. For all the years I've been working in the creative industry, you basically meet a client, you get a brief, you try and interpret the brief in the way that you think the client wants, and then you deliver a product.
Yeah.
Now what we do is we do that whole process, but we deliver the product on our own channel. So we're also delivering audience as well.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
That's right.
And I've got one annoying model that I can't swap out.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
got to make it work.
That's the bummer of the whole situation.
We work in marketing. It's just a different platform now, you know?
I think for many years, a lot of people in traditional media didn't want to even identify this industry as a marketing industry because it was competing.
Mm.
And as a result, the whole industry got smeared by everyone else with a bad name because everyone was either nervous, scared, or viewed us as competition. And that's 100% accurate. You know, some of our videos on YouTube have millions of views, which is more than a lot of TV shows.
Mm.
And that would be a threat to a traditional
company.
Do you know what I mean? But I think what's happened now that everything's kind of, the dust has settled, everyone's looking at it saying, all right, what is this kind of 360 approach that you can do with business where we get some TV ads, we get some radio ads, we get some social media, and we get some print.
Mm.
And now it definitely just slots into one of those kind of four or five pillars of marketing.
Mm.
And I think that's great.
I can very much see that the kind of negativity towards independent influencers or creators has died down a little bit, and now traditional media are actually jumping on the bandwagon and wanting to work with creators more. There's a lot of creators who are creating Netflix shows and things like that. So it's now just become a matter of creating digital content, and it doesn't matter whether you're considered. Are you just winding me down right now? Am I boring you?
No. I was just popping some more champagne on the old soundboard.
Oh, okay.
Want everyone to know that we're constantly drinking.
This is just going to get progressively more rowdy.
I think what we want to do, because with the way that the vlogs are edited, they're very tight. And I mean that in a technical way. Like, I edit them like little shows. So there's no gaps. There's no kind of ums and ahs. Like, there's none of that stuff, right?
Yeah, and we can't really ramble on like, you know, a particular topic for 45 minutes.
No, I've got a very short attention span. So when I edit the vlogs, I edit them with me in mind.
Mm.
If I get bored watching it back, I don't want to watch it. So I edit them real tight. There's no gaps.
Yeah.
But I do think that when we do that, we then sacrifice what we can do with the vlog and how much of our personality we can convey in the vlog. If you view Instagram as having like a 3-second lifespan with that content, people scroll past it, they look, they might double tap it, or they might leave a comment, which means they're there for 10 seconds.
Mm.
Then with YouTube, you might have us for like 8 to 9 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like the best bits, it's edited.
And we're here for 45 minutes, baby.
Yeah, and it's going to be garbage.
I've just actually realized that our like output of content has gone from literally like a photo a day to then all of a sudden we do vlogs.
We did daily vlog for a while as well.
Yeah, and it's like 10, 15 minutes, like long form content. People got to know us a bit better.
Mm.
And now we're like, you know what? I don't think people have heard enough from us. I think we need to talk a bit more.
It's weird, hey?
I think we need to let people show, we need to show people exactly how our minds work and tick.
It's very strangely egocentric.
Absolutely.
Like, we assume that anybody wants to watch this, listen to this.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, next episode we will have 3 cameras. This episode is only audio because it was so difficult to set all this stuff up. I don't know, like, if anyone's ever set up a recording studio before.
Was it actually? Because this thing looks like a toy, I'll be honest.
It's no, Pia. I'll dismantle it and you can try and reassemble it after the podcast. It's not easy. There's a lot of things you got to figure out. For example, Pia's jokes. I should have just played that a minute ago when you said that not funny thing.
Yeah, it's all about timing, baby.
There we go. I got it. So yeah, we like there was a lot to set up, and then it's now currently at 7 p.m. and I did not want to have to set up three cameras to get them recording, because I don't even know if this is recording right now.
Also, currently my favorite part of this like type of content.
Pajamas?
Yes.
Yeah, we're both in pajamas.
We have champagne and we're in pajamas. I could not be loving life more.
Yeah, I'm in track pants and I've had two glasses of Verve. This is like, I can't believe that, well, we're not, I was going to say, I can't believe we're getting paid for this, but we're not.
No, we're not.
If anybody wants to sponsor this really crap podcast, please hit up Grace, because like, I don't know why we're doing this otherwise.
This is a really good idea for brands. You should definitely jump on this.
So I think what we're going to do is kind of divide this podcast into a number of segments, because this is meant to be your drive home. This is meant to be a fun hour of just random stuff that you might find interesting. So I think we should definitely include a little bit of stuff every week about our business and how we're tracking, because I know a lot of people love to follow our journey.
Absolutely.
We'll intro that in a minute.
Yeah.
Then I think we should have a kind of a segment on hang on, I wrote it down. Let me just have a look here. Where was it?
He's forgot the second segment.
Second segment. Oh yeah, no. I just wanted to, this segment has got a very specific name. I just wanted to double check on my notes. It's called A Lot of You Have Been Asking. Which is pretty much what every Instagram girl says in her caption.
So is a lot of you have been asking like a Q&A segment?
Yeah. So what we can do with this is a podcast that is, we're making it with an app called, or a website called Anchor. Anchor.fm, like the boat thing. ANCHOR.FM. So if you go onto there, I'll put the link in the thing below this thing. You can
The thing below this thing, the description below this podcast.
Very accurate, yes. If you go on there, you can actually leave a voice memo, which we can then play back in the next podcast.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Super cool. So if you have a question, you don't fancy writing it to us, you can actually voice it to us and it will come in like a phone call would on a regular radio show, which is cool.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So what, we can actually have like live callers?
Well, technically they're pre-recorded callers, yeah. So we can listen to all the pre-recorded calls, and then if someone says something really great, we can kind of patch that into this podcast.
That's amazing. We should have done that for this episode.
Well, no one knew we were doing this episode until about an hour's time from now.
Surprise!
Boom.
We have a podcast.
And also this will then also go out on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and also Google Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places that you get podcasts. Mm. So I think if you just search for Wine Time and then look for our faces, it will come up.
Perfect.
And if you subscribe and give this 5 stars.
Do that.
I will give you a hug if I see you in the street. Please do that.
Think of the benefits.
Yes, the positive benefits of your life of a hug. You see these people in the street, they go like hug, free hugs and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm doing that.
You're doing that. But anyway, only with people who rate this 5 stars.
5 stars.
Nobody else.
No, 4 stars, you get a handshake.
Three stars
is a high five.
Thumbs up.
2 stars is a punch in the face. It's really interesting to see how this new generation is playing out and what works and what doesn't work. So I think we should talk about this a little bit every week as well.
Absolutely. I think it's so interesting. There's not much Australian content around that sort of thing, like commentary, drama, industry news, things like that. But it has become such a mammoth industry. And I think there needs to be someone who kind of like chit-chats about it, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I have a lot of opinions and I know you do.
Yes.
We should definitely be voicing our opinions, because I think everybody would love to know what we think. We absolutely are in the best time of history. And yes, I know because of the internet, we now see a lot of bad stuff.
Yes.
However, if you had the choice to live in 2019, almost 2020, or go back to World War One, would you want that?
No, I'd rather be
no
in
mobile phones. Everything was black and white.
I don't think mobile phones is the biggest issue.
Okay, there was
no. What do you mean everything was black and white? Like walking around, the earth is just black and white.
Have you not seen the photos?
Are you? You think color just came into existence?
Yeah, in about the '60s. That's true.
Just in the world.
I've spoken to my parents about this. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, if you had the choice of living 100 years ago or now. Now is better.
Absolutely.
And if you go back even further, I definitely wouldn't want to live in medieval times, because there was all sorts of things happening which were horrible.
I don't think women had a lot of rights.
No.
I probably would have been considered a witch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm very into Harry Potter.
Sometimes so. I think that now. And then you go back even further, like no electricity, no actual clean running water, all these things that we take for granted now. We're getting there.
And ideally, in 1,000 years, there's, you know, a world where we're all connected and there's a standard of human rights and animal rights that just exists across the globe.
You know what? Thanks to the internet, I don't think it's even 1,000 years. I would say, I mean, this is wishful thinking, but with the connectivity we have right now, probably 20 to 50 years. In our lifetime, I think we might see a really nice planet.
Do you think so?
I think so. The world is making such great strides. Like, you look at people like Akon, the rapper, right?
Right.
He could have just made his millions of dollars and just chilled out in LA with girls and alcohol if he wanted to, and Rolls Royces.
Supercars and mansions.
Yeah. He decided to take a large chunk of his money and work out how he can put solar power through Africa.
Did he?
And he's done it. And I don't know what the number is. I'll look it up in a minute. He's put thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people into an electrical system.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
If you have a voice, right, and if you have millions of people that are watching you and listening to you, you can legitimately make a pretty big difference. So like Akon or Leonardo DiCaprio telling people, listen, put your energies into this, into looking after the planet and, you know, thinking in a sustainable way and minimizing your footprint on the environment, that will actually have a significant difference on how people think in future generations.
Get this, right? Akon, he's started a company, or it's, I guess it's a charity. I'm not 100% certain. I'm looking at it for the first time now on my laptop. Akon Lighting Africa. It started in 2014, and it's a pure solar business play.
Yeah.
In an interview, Akon estimate they've already reached 100,000 households and installed 13,000 streetlights, all solar powered.
Is this where the individual houses have their own solar panels and they can basically, rather than all putting the energy into a central grid, they're actually sharing it amongst themselves?
I think you're thinking of something else. I know what you're thinking of, the kind of the grid sharing, solar grid sharing.
Yeah, it's like the energy belongs to the community. Yeah, rather than the government.
I know that system. That's not it.
Oh, okay.
That's Akon's thing was before that. That thing you saw on YouTube, I watched it with you or watched it over your shoulder the other day. That's actually a newer system, but that basically will be a similar system to what Tesla are doing with their power walls.
Yeah.
So you have Tesla solar on your roof and your power wall fills up. So if it gets full, you can then start feeding energy back into the grid and that grid, you can then earn money back. And that's what's happening. That's what they're doing on a smaller scale in Africa as well. So all
the
of a sudden,
I watched, I think, was in Bangladesh.
Yeah, it was. That's right. It was in India or Bangladesh. And they were, for the first time ever, their communities were becoming profitable.
Yeah. And had
quickly profitable
energy. Before that, they were literally lighting gas lamps.
No, but because they were able to sell, I mean, everyone's got sunlight, right? Mm. So because they were able to cheaply sell energy back to the grid, all of a sudden, for the first time, literal government companies were paying them, and they were their community is rising. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's amazing. So not only was the energy production sustainable, but it actually helped fund a community.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
Okay, so for those of you who've just discovered this podcast and haven't watched any of our YouTube or anything like that, Ken and I are a married couple. We have been married for nearly a year.
Yep, 10 and a half months.
And we've actually been together, though, for nearly 10 years.
You get less for manslaughter.
Thanks, babe.
That's my dad's joke. Yeah. Sorry. I remember my dad saying that when I was like 4, and it's stuck in my head, and I'm every always going to say it.
Every time someone's like, how long have you guys been together? I'm like, nearly 10 years. He's like, less for manslaughter.
It's a really dark joke.
It is really dark.
But really mean. Anyway, sorry.
So we've been together for a really long time, obviously recently married, and we actually work together and live together and, you know, run a business together, and we are full-time content creators. We used to have very corporate jobs. I used to be a corporate lawyer. Ken used to be a creative director. And a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we quit our jobs and went into full-time trying to start a business and content creation around that.
Well, what actually happened was Pia was working in her law firm. I was working in my ad agency. And I mean, if anyone works in law, you know it's very, very long hours. It was a real shift for her brain. She didn't like it. And as a boyfriend at the time, I noticed that she wasn't happy. Mm. So she was looking for an alternate solution or something else to do, but we weren't in a position financially where I could support her long term. I was on a regular kind of designer salary, which if you live in Australia, you know that isn't actually amazing. It's just, it will support two of you, but you'll never go on a nice holiday sort of thing, right? Yeah. So Pia ended up saying to me, hey, listen, if I quit my job and pursue my passion, will you support me? And I was like, yes, but only if you do it within 6 months because I can't afford this.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. And Pia was running a vlog. I mean, do you want to talk about the blog you were running at the time?
Yeah, so the way we actually got started and what we do, right now we're full-time YouTubers, full-time content creators. Our content is mostly on Instagram and YouTube. If you want to check out those channels, I'm sure they'll be linked in the description.
They will.
Hello. but basically the way that we got into it and left our full-time jobs was an interesting story because about a year and a half into being a full-time corporate lawyer and very disheartened by the career path I'd chosen. I just really wasn't happy. And I always really had aspirations to try and start my own business of sorts, hoping that because I had like, you know, a solid commercial head on my shoulders from the law degree, I would be able to run a business. While I was at uni, I actually had a little blog that I used to run just as a kind of creative outlet because obviously the law degree was quite dry. And I used to run a little wellness blog where I would put, you know, recipes for homemade salt scrubs.
It was called Slinky.
It was called slinky.com.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I would just spend basically most of my holidays because I didn't really have any friends in Sydney. so I would spend most of my holidays, you know, writing on this blog about things that I was just really passionate about. And I didn't have a lot of success. I didn't have really many readers or anything like that, but it had some really great content on there. And one day while I was, you know, on a break, I was researching this article about what the best yoga mat is to buy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so I was like, I spent 8 hours or something researching all the different yoga mats that you could buy. And I was just really delving deep into this and finding out what they were actually made of. And I found that I couldn't find a single yoga mat that wasn't made with PVC.
Which is nuts because yogis put their faces on this stuff for like hours on end every day.
Yeah, and PVC is an extremely harmful chemical. It's actually harmful to the environment because it never biodegrades.
Yep.
And it's also harmful to the yogi or the person like, you know, doing some exercise on it because it releases toxic fumes, especially in hot air.
I think also when you produce anything that's made of PVC, it damages the environment on production as well. So like all in all, it's just a bad thing.
Terrible product. Mm. And I just found that really weird because obviously in my head, you know, people who practice yoga are kind of like earth loving humans who don't want to be practicing on something that's so harmful. So I sort of said to Kane, I was like, listen, I think I have this idea for a business. I think I found a little gap in the market here.
Which is nuts because I'm not a yogi. At the time I was training very hard at the gym, but I was a real weights guy. I definitely was not interested in yoga. I love yoga now, by the way, but at the time I was not interested. So when she said, oh, I found a niche in the market, I didn't know whether she was telling the truth or not. Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was just a case of, all right, well, if you genuinely believe it, and also you do have a law degree, so I kind of have to believe you because you're way smarter than me. I'm going to fund this.
Well, basically what we did is we took all our savings, which wasn't a lot at the time, and decided to try.
It was less than, I think it's $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah, it was like a couple of grand. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we spent all of that on trying to produce environmentally friendly yoga mats, which is what we did. It took about 8 months or so to get them ready.
It was a while because this was right at the beginning. We had no idea what we were doing. Like we spent months even trying to find manufacturers and find factories and checking out different countries. And it was a big process actually.
Yeah, and we put all our efforts into creating something that, you know, we were really happy with, something that wasn't created with glue and things like that. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we've spent all of our savings. We were living in a 47 square meter apartment and I filled the entire living room with about 500 yoga mats.
There was so many yoga mats in our house at the time that I couldn't watch TV.
No.
Like they were stacked floor to ceiling because like Pia, the way we designed it was they came in these nice kind of packaging boxes. It looked like you were buying an iPad that was the shape of a yoga mat.
Yeah.
But in theory, that sounds great. In reality, it's floor to ceiling boxes.
And when you don't have any infrastructure and you don't have a warehouse or anything like that, or staff or anything like that, you stack them in your living room. So,
which was fine until we realized what actually happened was when we did a few spot checks, like what they called QCs, quality controls, we checked out a few of them. And we realized that every yoga mat that had been produced had the label stitched on upside down, which might not sound like a big deal, but, you know, imagine you made a product and they put the logo on it upside down. You'd be really upset. So we had a little bit of money left over, which we were actually going to spend on like Google ads. And we didn't know about Instagram at the time. We were going to spend it on Google ads. And we had to spend that last bit of savings on paying a seamstress, literally a guy with a needle and thread to come and unstitch our labels and restitch them on the right way around, which was also a very time consuming task. But once he did it, we had zero cash.
Yeah.
Like we were actually at zero.
So we had no business plan, no cash.
We should have come up with a business plan a long time before that. Just FYI, if anyone wants business advice, have a business plan.
Yeah. But basically a living room full of yoga mats. And our only option really at the time, I was like, babe, let's go take some photos of me doing some poses on these yoga mats and we'll just post them on Instagram and see if someone wants to buy one.
Well, Pia, did you just say this? I think Pia had like 100 or two, maybe 300 followers, like her friends. Yeah. Like it was a normal Instagram account where just your friends and local circle follow you. Like it wasn't an account with a million or two followers.
No, it was just my friends. It was a normal account.
And also I was not a photographer at the time. We were using, I think probably an iPhone 4 or something around that 5 maybe.
Yeah.
We had no clue. I had no clue how to take photos. We literally went onto the roof because it was tidier than our house.
Yeah.
That was it. There was no reason. The roof wasn't a good looking roof. It was just a roof.
But we took some photos, posted them on Instagram. And then the next thing you know, someone called us and was like, listen, I don't know if you know this, but I've just opened a yoga studio. I'll take 100. And so we were just beside ourselves.
Well, the reason we were beside ourselves is 100 yoga mats in terms of sales, even at wholesale price, put us into the profit again.
It was significant.
And
it was really good.
And we could then reorder more stock and we had some money left over to start actually advertising.
Yeah.
So like it was crazy. Something happened in the universe and everything fell into line.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
So our first ever sale was literally for 100 yoga mats and we were up and running. And that's when we realized that Instagram might actually be a super viable marketing strategy. Now, I've got to preface that this is way before, you know, the popularity that Instagram is now. This is like 2016, maybe late 2015.
No, 15. This was the time when I think the only people were Instagrammers were like Sheridan Fisher or Hash Oakley, like
it wasn't,
the OGs, yeah, you know what I mean? Like
it wasn't like a known thing to be like a creator or an influencer or anything like that.
Maybe for our listeners in America it was, but in Australia it was a brand new thing. Like I think you were the first Instagrammer that I knew. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like you know? It wasn't ever like a career path that people thought, oh, you know what, I'm just going to do content creation.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No one realized that you could make money off having a big Instagram account is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, Pia's Instagram started to grow pretty quickly after this. It was completely, completely random actually. We kind of thought, okay, maybe Instagram is a thing.
Mm.
So we started to take photos of Pia. I think on the weekends we'd aim to take 7 to 10 photos of you every weekend.
Yeah.
Like 5 a day, 5 on Saturday, 5 on Sunday, before we did anything else. So that was like our main focus of Saturday. So we gave ourselves a full-time job basically.
Mm.
And then that gave us the content to post Monday to Sunday the next week.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was based around fitness or activities or yoga. Mm. So it meant that all of a sudden we could gently nudge our friends towards our yoga mats, which was kind of cool.
Mm. And so then for a couple of months, obviously, we would spend our entire weekend trying to take photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday to Friday, I was still working. Kane was still working. Yeah. So we both still had full-time jobs. Every day we'd be going to the office. And then in the evenings, we would sit there and we'd have made a few sales, right, online.
Yep.
So we'd sit there, wrap up all these yoga mats, send them out, respond to customers.
No, but we were wrapping yoga mats at like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
It wasn't a day thing because we both had day jobs.
Yeah. So at midnight, we're responding to customer emails and things like that. And then the next day going back to a full day in the office of work. And then after about a few months, we saw that we were getting a little bit of traction on social media. We were getting a few more sales. Mm. And we kind of set ourselves this limit like, listen, if we can sell about 5 yoga mats a day on average, that's viable enough for one of us to quit our job.
Well, I think we put the number 5 into our heads because if you can sell 5, you can sell 10.
Yeah.
And the kind of thing was, if we're organically selling 5 yoga mats a day, yeah, that ain't going to pay the bills, but it certainly shows...
We've got something.
We've got a viable business option. Yeah. So let's explore it further. Yeah. And so as soon as we started selling 5 yoga mats a day, which to be honest was within about a month and a half.
Yeah.
We weren't really pushing it because we had no budget, but it was within about a month, month and a half. At that point, Pia was like, all right, cool. I'm quitting my job.
Yeah. So I quit my job.
And the rest is history.
So I quit my job. And then I had a little bit more time to do, you know, the content and the blog articles and things like that. Kane was still working full time, but was doing everything with me. Like, I've never had another photographer or anything like that. So even on the weekends.
I had to buy a camera and learn how to be a photographer.
I know.
If you look at the first photos we posted, yeah. It's like I just bought my first camera and downloaded some Photoshop software. It's like, you don't look normal.
Yeah.
But if anybody wanted to call us out, it's like, yeah, I was terrible at everything back in the day.
Well, it was all self-taught. And I think through the years, we've got progressively better. But I think people like watching that journey,
I've
right?
I've only felt confident calling myself a photographer about 6 months ago.
Really? Well, we've been working at that full time for a few years
for
now.
5 years. Yeah, let's not tell any brands that.
So what happened was we found it a bit easier to actually grow my personal account than the business account.
I think that's just the way it goes. People want to follow a person rather than a brand.
Yeah. So my personal Instagram, because we were putting in so much effort into creating content, it just kind of took off. I think it was about a year and a half maybe, and then we hit 1 million followers.
I think you actually hit 1 million within a year once we started it.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It was at that time when Instagram was really kicking off.
Yeah, it took off very quickly for us. And then the next thing we knew, we started having, you know, even other brands approach us and say, hey, listen, can you shoot our product? Or, you know, can you work with us and things like that? And that was something that we never really expected because we were obviously just taking content to try and grow our business Slinky. And then all of a sudden we had these two parallel businesses, one of which was an e-commerce brand and the other one was a lot of travel content and kind of, you know, working with brands to create really cool, unique marketing content.
Well, to be honest, we didn't really know that social media was a way to make money.
No.
You know, I knew that there were YouTubers out in the universe that had been doing it for 10 years and I just assumed that they were doing some sort of, you know, sponsored videos or whatnot. I had no idea that Instagram was actually a way that a large chunk of the population were making money.
Yeah.
And good money.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so a couple of, maybe a year or so later, Kane then quit his job.
Yeah, about a year, year and a half.
Mm.
What happened there was Pia was slowly earning more money with Slinky, or we were, and also the social media side of the business was growing too. Mm. So when we got to the point where what she was doing was outperforming my salary for like, I think we gave it 3 months or 6 months. We said, let's see if this actually is a thing and not just a blip. Because you've got to be careful. When you get a new business roll it, like kind of fall into your lap, you've got to go, hang on a minute, is this really legitimate or is this just a random flash in the pan?
Yeah.
So we were cautious. We gave it, I think, 3 or 6 months. Mm. And then when we realized, well, this is a serious business, this is not going away at all. I think at that point, it was very easy for me to quit my job and go, all right, I've got to get really good at content creation. I've got to be the best I can be. And I think so did you. And at that point, that was a real turning point for us. And that was what, 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah, I think nearly 3 years ago, to be honest.
Wow.
And that's when we started the vlog.
Yeah.
So we then, Kane picked up the camera and said, you know what, I find this so unusual, this life of just, you know, a lot of travel, a lot of different events and things like that. I'm going to film it. And so he picked up the camera and just started filming the behind the scenes of what was going on as like a life of a creator.
And that was the vlog we started, which was called Diaries of an Instagram Husband, which you might have seen around and about.
But that's a really interesting thing about this industry because we've been in it for a few years now and we've even noticed that there has to be a certain amount of fluidity with what you do.
Which is scary because you're like in any other job, let's say you're an accountant, you learn that at 18 or 20 or whatever, I don't know how long it takes to be an accountant. Mm. When you're 50, you're doing the same thing.
Well, legislation might change.
No. It doesn't. Let's be honest. Every accountant,
if you know the skills, you know the skills.
Yeah. Same as a lawyer. Like if you were a lawyer at 20 and you were a lawyer at 40, nothing's really changed.
Yeah.
You might have had to switch from like Mac to PC or the other way around.
Or like a fax to a computer.
Correct. That is the extent of your, you know, job evolution.
Mm.
Now, if a new app comes out next year that we don't even know about yet, you're going to have to like learn that.
Yeah.
You know, and well, really evolve with it. It's a strange industry now.
It's something that I both love and also find very scary about this industry, because on the one hand, it's like you can pivot your content and it's fluid enough so as you grow older, you can kind of like create the content that you're interested in at that particular point in life. So for instance, if we were to have a baby, maybe our content would pivot.
We're not pregnant, by the way.
No, I'm drinking Verve. Yeah, don't get any ideas.
The Daily Mail is already writing, is Pia Muhlenbeck pregnant?
But do you know what I mean? I think this like career choice gives you the flexibility to kind of pivot your content in directions that you are personally passionate
about.
Well,
that's what, what's her name? Amanda Cerny.
Yes.
She's a huge everything. I would just call her an internet star.
Yes.
Like she started
internet out, sensation.
Internet sensation. She started out doing kind of glamour modeling back in the day. We're probably talking maybe 10, 12 years ago now. Mm. Then she moved into doing Vines with, you know, Mark Doner and Logan Paul and all those.
Lele Pons,
all those funny guys. Mm. Then there was some weird beef between her and Lele Pons, I think. There was something crazy happened. And then she started doing YouTube, and then she started doing more Instagram fashion and stuff like that. And now she's invested in the Zeus company, I think it's called, or Zeus.
Yeah.
The Zeus Network.
Mm.
And she's going up against Netflix. Like, she's gone from being a model in a bikini, not that there's anything wrong with it at all, but just to kind of show you the trajectory of her journey.
Yeah.
She's gone from being a model that poses on the beach to the CEO or a founder of a network that is going up against Netflix. Like, she's actually incredible. And the cool thing is, once you've got that audience on social media, if people are interested, they will follow you through that journey, which typically doesn't happen. And what I mean by that is, the people that, like, for example, kid stars.
Yes.
You know, on Disney Channel and whatnot, it's very hit and miss.
Once they grow too old,
they
stop being a viable kid star. Yeah. It's like...
Like, I know a few people that were on children's TV back in the day.
Yeah.
And they're now unemployed.
That's tricky. That's a really tricky transition. Being able to pivot like a child audience, and as they grow up and you get too old to be, you know, a kid star, how do you get them to actually still follow you as an adult?
Well, you see the likes of Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
They constantly, if you watch them and you actually listen to what they're saying, I know they play the fool online, but they're actually very, very smart guys. Like, they are not idiots. And they often use the term aging up.
Yes.
We're aging up our audience.
Yeah.
So I would imagine something that Logan Paul would consider aging up would be going from his kind of kid show daily vlogs to becoming a pro boxer.
Yeah.
Like, kids don't want to watch boxing. Adults do. So he's using his kind of, I hate the word, but he's using his clout to bring new audience in so he can age up his audience so that he can carry on, again, I hate this word, stay relevant. No, but it's true, right? They're all buzzwords that are kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But he's aging up his audience so he stays relevant so he can transition from basically a kid's entertainer on social media into whatever he's about to do next, which is very interesting.
If your content is built around a particular subject, like MKBHD, for instance, it's about tech, right?
Yeah.
It's not about his personal life.
No, but that's what I like what we do, because when we started out the vlog, I don't know if you've ever seen, anyone on this podcast has seen episode one of our vlogs.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. They're terrible. It's a terrible vlog. Like, I only just downloaded iMovie. Like, it was rubbish. But I just thought to myself, this life is a bit weird. I want to film it mainly in case we have a kid and my kid goes, how did you and your mum get to here?
Yeah.
I figured that would be a fun thing to document.
Mm.
So I think what we do is a bit different as well. But as a result,
ours is a very personal blog. It's following our journey. We've vlogged our wedding day.
Yeah, but it's constantly evolving.
Yes.
That's the thing. As business gets better, that storyline changes. Mm. And heaven forbid, if we went bankrupt next year, I would carry on vlogging that and I would vlog that journey, because actually now I'm in the point where I don't know if I'm anything other than just someone documenting my life.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a modern day writer.
Isn't that cool though? Isn't that cool to have such extreme diary of your life so that you can look back and go, oh my gosh, what did we do in 2016?
Yeah.
And you can actually see.
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is, if you think about anything historic, I don't mean that like going back 10 years. I'm talking about, do you know what you even had for dinner last Friday? No, no one does. No one can remember that.
Last Friday, I'm pretty sure people could probably remember.
Well, I can't. You know, but so my point being is, we all have kind of visions and memories of past.
Yeah.
I remember what the holiday with your mum was like earlier this year. But do I really remember? No. I know that she was there and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You remember like flashes of it, right?
Flashes. I know. Literally, I remember what the hotel room looked like.
I remember stubbing my toe.
Yeah, exactly. But do I remember what you were wearing when you stubbed your toe? Do I remember what your mum's favourite dish was? Do I remember what colour her bike was? No, none of that stuff. So the cool thing with what we're doing with the vlogs is I really am... We're creating a time capsule and I'm really remembering it. And I love that. Mm. And I would urge anybody that has got a camera, I'm not saying publish it on YouTube, but definitely record that stuff.
Oh, Kane used to record our holidays long before we did YouTube, before we did any of this.
We've probably got 15 or 20 edited holiday videos.
Yeah, from the first few years of our relationship.
Literally week six.
We should put those out.
Nah, man.
Why?
Because... I looked really good then.
Just too good.
I had a six pack. If anyone's wondering how I picked up Pia, I looked a lot hotter a few years ago.
You still look the same, babe.
No, I've eaten a lot of donuts
since
then.
You haven't aged at all.
Yeah, but I've definitely changed body shape. We've done that for a long time and I love that. I love looking back on all those videos. I think everybody... Now that we've all got iPhones or Pixels or any of that stuff.
Yeah, people like recording their life.
We should definitely record more as a society.
I mean, I think we do. I think we do. I think now we need to focus on actually at times making sure that we switch off and enjoying the moment too.
Yeah, I think, what was it they said? I saw this meme the other day. It said 10 years ago people went on the internet to switch off from life.
Yeah.
Now we go somewhere beautifully remote to switch off from the internet.
Yeah, it's quite consuming, isn't it?
I mean, it's not great.
I think if you work in this industry, you have to be able to separate your personal life from your business life a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a very thick skin because you're putting yourself out there a lot and you're letting other people judge you. And I think you need to realize that it is something that you do as a career.
Well, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
Which you have to realize very quickly when you work in this industry.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think we need to start to wrap this up. Make sure if you have anything you want to ask us or talk to us or any opinions or anything, make sure you log on to Anchor. Mm. Anchor.fm. I don't know what the exact link is, so it'll be in the description down below. If you click on that, you'll be able to leave us an actual voice message which we can play back in next week's podcast.
Yeah, this was our introductory episode, so we wanted to let you guys know who we are, where we came from, and in the next couple of weeks we're going to be talking about more, you know, trending topics and things that happened during the week.
I also want to spend a bit of time focusing on business. I know that we get so many business questions.
Yes.
Because of our journey. I think there's a lot of people out there that are probably in a similar situation to us where maybe the girlfriend or whatever has kind of amassed a bit of a following and they want to start a business in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, running a business yourself is not, it is stress, but it's a lot nicer than having a job. You know, you've got that freedom. So I think there's a lot of people out there that aspire to do a similar sort of thing. So I think we should definitely take questions on that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe look into it.
And we'll just do a little roundup of the week.
Yeah.
And get ourselves hyped for the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, time is up. And that's where we're going to end today's episode of Wine Time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and have hit that 5-star rating on this episode. Every little bit helps. So we really appreciate that. If you fancy keeping up with our antics outside of this podcast, you can always follow us on Instagram. The links are in this description. Or you can check out our YouTube channel where we post at least 2 videos a week. If you'd like to check out our website, which has heaps of posts as well as all our photo and video presets, head over to kaneandpia.com. That's www.kaneandpia.com. Thanks so much for listening and we'll see you in the next one.